Only one time in my life did I consider taking my kippah off out of fear. Sadly, it happened in Tel Aviv. In 1988, on the anniversary of Yitzhak Rabin's assassination, I participated in a massive peace rally organized to honor Rabin's memory and his work. Now keep in mind that Rabin was murdered by an observant Jew, someone who wears a kippah. That night at the rally, there were not too many kippot. And as I learned, for some, yarmulkes were not a welcome sight. As thousands of Israelis gathered, lit candles, and sang for peace, my kippah attracted anger. Among the stares and gazes were jeers. "Hey, religious man, the blood of Rabin is on your hands." Of course, the overwhelming majority of people at that rally accepted my presence without question. But that is not what I remember. I remember the hate. That night, in the Jewish homeland, I was told that I was responsible for Rabin's death because I am an observant Jew. Never in my life have I felt so uncomfortable wearing a kippah. That night, I felt the force of senseless hatred, sinat chinam. Sinat chinam, senseless hatred. We experience it from the outside in anti-Semitic attacks, through terrorism. But it also comes from within the Jewish community. The sting of sinat chinam is often felt amongst Jews. At that rally, I was a victim of sinat chinam because I wear a kippah. But it also flows from the opposite direction. Last week, two of my friends, a married couple, they went shopping in Jerusalem, and an ultra-Orthodox man spit on them. Why? My friend's wife, she's about 6 feet tall and blonde. The crazed ultra-Orthodox man had assumed that she was not Jewish. And even if she wasn't Jewish, would it have mattered? The saddest part of this story is that this is not the first time that she's felt this type of hatred, this type of senseless hatred in Israel. Sinat chinam is especially relevant to us today because of our past and because of our present and its implications for our future. As we look into our past, as we face the present, and as we hope for the future, we must recognize that sinat chinam threatens Israel. Tonight is Tisha B'Av, a day when we mourn national Jewish tragedies. On Tisha B'Av, we are especially mindful of the destruction of the Second Temple at the hands of the Romans. In the Talmud, the rabbis explore possible reasons for the destruction of the temple. Ultimately, they teach that the temple was not destroyed because of military failure Rather, they tell us that the destruction was because of sinat chinam, senseless hatred from within the Jewish community. The rabbis provide an example that illustrates the widespread nature of this hatred. A man decides to have a party, and he invites everybody in Jerusalem, including his friend Kamsa. But the invitation is mistakenly delivered to Bar Kamsa, who happens to have a grudge with the host. Now, perhaps thinking that the host wants to move beyond their past, or maybe because he can't pass up an invitation to a good party, Bar Kamsa goes to the party. And when this host sees Bar Kamsa at the party, he is furious. He goes over immediately and he confronts Bar Kamsa. Now imagine if you were Bar Kamsa. Imagine if you were the uninvited guest at a party and you were confronted by the host. What would you do? Everyone is there. So in an attempt not to be embarrassed in front of the entire community, Bar Kamsa begs to stay, and he even offers to pay the entire cost of the party. But even then, the host kicks Bar Kamsa out, as the community, including all the rabbis, look on in silence. Angered that nobody would intervene on his behalf, Bar Kamsa conspires to set the Romans upon the Jews. And Bar Kamsa's plan works. The Roman army turns against the Jews, ransacks Jerusalem, and destroys the temple. Everybody is at fault here. A society in which hatred can rage wildly, where nobody even attempts to stop it, is a society that has ripped itself apart. The temple's destruction was due to sinat chinam of the entire community. Hopefully we can learn from this past. Next week, the disengagement from Gaza begins. At the beginning of the summer, I landed in Israel. And as we drove into Jerusalem, there was the familiar smoke over the city. But it wasn't the familiar smoke of the Intifada. This smoke was different. It was not the smoke of a burnt-out bus or a blown-up restaurant. It was the smoke from burning tires. Tires were burning throughout the city in protest of the disengagement. So we needed to take an alternative path to enter the city because we later learned that some protesters had thrown nails across the entire highway. Now, the disengagement not only dominates the country's headlines, it dominates daily life. Orange, being the adopted color of those opposed to the disengagement, and blue for those in favor. As the disengagement draws near, Israel finds itself in a sea of orange and blue. Throughout the country, teenagers stand at every major intersection offering motorists either orange or blue flags to display in their cars. And some days I was so proud to see that people cared, to see those teenagers standing there all day with such commitment, with such fervor. And at other times I grew scared. Scared of the simmer that is close to boiling over. More than one person on my trip told me, there will be blood surely there will be blood. That this is even a possibility is shocking and reprehensible. The potential for an outpouring of senseless hatred threatens Israel. As rhetoric increases, accusations fly, and the day approaches, we must not make the same mistake of our ancestors. We must not allow Sinat Chinam to consume us, no matter where we sit on the political spectrum. And that's where it's tricky. Because nobody thinks that their hatred is senseless. Everyone feels that their feelings are justified, rooted somehow in truth. The fanatic does not view his or her own behaviors as fanatical. Extreme, perhaps, but justified. And that's why we all have to take watch and assume responsibility over one another, especially in the coming days. The president of Israel, Moshe Katsav, gives us an appropriate guideline for what constitutes Sinat Chinam concerning the disengagement. He writes, "Who is guilty of Sinat Chinam? Those who rejoice when a town is evacuated, when men and women who attempted to expand Israel with their government's support and approval are now removed from their homes by their government, it is hateful to rejoice. Likewise, violent resistance to the evacuation is beyond the pale of acceptability. It demonstrates radical disregard to the fabric of Israeli society." The coming days in Israel are going to be tremendously difficult. The issue of disengagement is extremely nuanced and challenging. I'm going to leave it to the op-eds and the politicians to pitch their arguments for you and for you to decide where you fall. Of course, we will not all agree with one another. We wouldn't be authentically Jewish if we did. We as Jews, we challenge each other, we question, and we debate our ideas and beliefs. However, we must ultimately stand together, orange or blue. Some 2,000 years after the destruction of the Second Temple, hopefully we will not repeat our ancestors' mistake. In this difficult week ahead, let us heed the words of President Katsav. We can overcome these difficult times without tearing our social fabric beyond repair, but we must engage in a national soul-searching aimed at banishing Sinat Chinam and fostering tolerance. This week, as we ask ourselves orange or blue, and whenever we decide kippah or no kippah, and in the future, as our 4,000-year journey continues, may we find meaning in our differences, assurance in our tolerance, and strength in our unity. Shabbat Shalom.